Good morning and welcome to this service, The Cross of Christ. Usually a Passiontide meditation for choir and congregation, consisting of readings, hymns and anthems. Today, following the guidelines issued by the churches during this ongoing health crisis, I am officiating in church with just one other person present. The music led by the choirs of both Anna Hilt and Mara Hamlet has been recorded during similar services in past years. Albert Lewin, an American screenwriter, wrote in the script of his film Pandora and the Flying Dutchman, "The measure of love is what one is willing to give up for it." And I believe that is true. If you tell someone you love them, but never make any sacrifices, always want your own way, then your words are false. Whereas, if you willingly give up your time, your freedom, and your personal plans for somebody, there is no gainsaying your genuine affection. The measure of love is what one is willing to give up for it. This quotation echoes the words of Jesus. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Sacrificing your life for somebody is the greatest possible degree of love. Fortunately for most of us, the circumstances has never arisen in which we have to die to prove our love. We can imagine and admire people who would willingly sacrifice their own lives in a natural disaster, in wartime, in conflict, or confronted by terrorists to protect those they love. Today we mark the fifth Sunday in this penitential season of Lent, traditionally observed as Passion Sunday. Jesus taught his friends that his crucifixion was a similar act of self-sacrifice. It was not something he was forced to do. He could have avoided arrest or spoken in such a way that there were no grounds for convicting him. But if he had behaved like that, he would have let his friends down by failing to live up to the standards of love and honesty which he had taught them, to show them the most fulfilling way to live. His death was also for me and for you, so that we might learn that the sacrificial way of living leads to eternal life. The best way to get the most out of these 2 weeks of Passiontide leading to Easter is to understand the value that God is placing on your love and mine. Yet Jesus died for everyone, our family and friends, our neighbours here and throughout the world, and he calls us to love them as such. Since the outbreak of the dreaded coronavirus started over a year ago, some people have not coped well with its impact. Too many people have flouted guidelines and prohibitions. Those trying their best to follow the rules have found the various national lockdowns, especially this present one, particularly challenging. However, there has been another story which is still being told. Our key workers in the National Health Service, including those who have come out of retirement, our food distributors and retailers, our pharmacy workers, all in the front line. They are treating and caring for our sick and infirm, as well as ensuring the optimum level of vaccine rollout and maintaining essential services. Others in our communities have rallied on a voluntary basis to support its senior and vulnerable members, as well as others in need. Whatever self-sacrifice one can make for our neighbour, however inconvenient, it is worth it because God thinks we are all worth his sacrifice on the cross.
God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. The hymn, Lift High the Cross, the Love of Christ Proclaim. Beloved in Christ, we cannot approach Holy Week and Good Friday in a better way than to dwell on the words of Holy Scripture, which convey for all time the eternal truth of our redemption. But, like the apostles who could not watch for 1 hour, we are seldom ready to read the Scriptures at length. This service helps us to do just that. Let us, therefore, ponder the words we shall hear and allow our hearts and minds and wills to rest in God, for we have come together to be with him, to wonder at his infinite goodness, and to offer our souls and bodies as a living sacrifice to his service in the world. Let us then prepare to journey with Christ the way of the cross in the words which he has taught us, and say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Christ on the road to God. The prophet Isaiah foreshows the sufferings of Christ. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth.
Oh. Jesus enters Jerusalem. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
Jesus institutes the Holy Communion. Then came the day of the unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.
the struggle in Gethsemane. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
Jesus is betrayed. While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this," and he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."
Thank you. Jesus is condemned to die. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Jesus is crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last.
Thank you.
Christ triumphant. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of your passion, you stretched out your arms on the hard wood of the cross, that all might be brought within your saving embrace. Draw us to yourself with the bands of your love, that, being bound to you forever as your faithful servants, we may take up our cross daily and follow you, and at last come to your everlasting joy, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and merciful God, who in the days of old didst give to this land the benediction of thy holy church, withdraw not, we pray thee, thy favour from us, but so correct what is amiss and supply what is lacking, that we may more and more bring forth fruit to thy glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and all-loving God, we pray to you through Christ the Healer for those who suffer from the coronavirus COVID-19 in this country and across the world. We pray too for all who reach out to those who mourn the loss of each and every person who has died as a result of contracting the disease. Give wisdom to policymakers, skill to healthcare professionals and researchers, comfort to everyone in distress, and a sense of calm to us all in these days of uncertainty. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who showed compassion to the outcast, acceptance to the rejected, and love to those to whom no love was shown. Amen.
And we pray for those personally known to us who are in hospital. O God, the source of life and health, we pray for all who are ill. And in particular, we pray for Jean Bradford, Isaac Harrison, and Canon Eric Kingston. Give doctors and nurses skill to make them well again, and grant that during their time of indisposition, they may learn more of your love and care. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which you have given us, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.
Loving God, at this time of ongoing crisis when so many are suffering, we pray for our nation and our world. Give our leaders wisdom, our health service strength, and our people hope. Lead us through these parched and difficult days to the fresh springs of joy and comfort that we find in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. We thank you for being with us in our worship this morning, which we now conclude by singing the hymn, "Take Up Thy Cross," the Saviour said. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today is Census Day. And the Bishop has asked me and my fellow clergy to encourage you to participate. This is a vital collection of information which happens only once every 10 years and gives a picture of all the people and households in Northern Ireland. The data collected is used to make decisions about how vital public services such as education, transport and health are planned and funded. For example, the number of vaccines available to Northern Ireland from London is based on population figures from the census. However, it is not all about government. The census, along with our church records, provides a family history record for us all. All households in Northern Ireland will by now have received their census pack or letter in the post, and some may have already completed it. That's excellent, but if you haven't, please fill out your census by or immediately after today, the 21st of March. The census is easy and safe to fill out online or on paper. And if you do need support, do visit the census website, census.gov.uk/NI/help. Or you can call the census team for free on 0800 328 2021. The next online service will be next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, from 10 o'clock. This online service will be on the website and will take the form of a family service to mark the beginning of Holy Week. Our online services will continue throughout Holy Week. That's from Monday through to Maundy Thursday. And then on Good Friday and on Easter Day, we hope to have in-church services. At 8 o'clock on Good Friday evening, there will be the customary Tenebrae service. This will be in Mara Hamlet, and as in previous years, will be very much a grouped parish occasion. We will, of course, be observing social distancing, but we will be able to overflow, if necessary, into the parochial hall, where the service can be picked up there. On Easter Day, there will be the Parish Communion of Easter in both Annahilt and Mara Hamlet. Annahilt at 10 o'clock, Mara Hamlet at 12 noon. It would be very helpful if those intending to be present on either Good Friday or an Easter Day in either church would indicate to the church wardens their intentions of doing so. The phone numbers and other contact details of the church wardens in both Annahilt and Mara Hamlet are on the parish website or are included in the latest edition of the parish magazine. Please note that British summertime begins next Sunday and that clocks go forward 1 hour. The food bank would be grateful for your assistance in the run-up to Easter. The following list of items is particularly required: cooking items, for example, tomato paste, garlic powder, onion powder, spices and herbs, and noodles. The parochial hall in Annahilt will be open for people to drop off items on this coming Thursday evening, the 25th of March, at 7 p.m. If you can drop items off at that time, it would be greatly appreciated. If this is not possible, please leave them at the collection points in Tesco's or Sainsbury's. Thank you.